Blog Talk Radio.
Word Sexy Radio. Word Sexy Radio.
This is Word Sexy Radio for Monday, May 17th. 2010.
Welcome to
Word
Sexy Radio for Monday.
So we have a fantastic show for you this evening. We have national best-selling author Earl Sewell, author of 12 novels, including his latest epic, Hoot. And he'll also be talking to us about some of his other books, Have Mercy, Taken for Granted, Through Thick and Thin, The Flip Side of Money, When Push Comes to Shove, and Love, Lies, and Scandal. We want you to enjoy yourself as we get into our show this evening. We'd like to welcome you all here to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm Red Snapper, and here we are again on May 17, 2010, coming at you live from Kansas City. And it's always a pleasure to do this, come online and talk to a lot of people, and especially authors that I definitely admire, and you know, a lot of people that we try to emulate as we go forth in our own walk and our journey in writing, so in our literary. So at this time, I'd like to introduce to some, and you know, I know a lot of people know him already, but I'm just intrigued with this author because he's done so much, especially with the latest book that he's done that I really, really, really loved called Cougars. And that book, I'm going to let him explain it to you because the title right there in itself is enough. So without further ado, Mr. Earl Sewell, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
How you doing, Earl? How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. Just waiting for this weather in Chicago here to break a little bit, but I'm good. It's a little chilly, but I'm good.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm sorry that you're chilly, but even here in Kansas City, it's been a little cool for us, usually around this time of year. Usually it's a little warmer, but we're trying to endure, you know, through all this rain and everything. But we're glad to have you on the show, man, and I'm telling you, man, it's an honor to talk to you because I've been following you and definitely enjoyed this book that you had. I mean, I read this book, man, when I was on my way to on a trip to Ohio with my fraternity. And on the way there, I read half of it, and on the way back, I was done. This book is absolutely magnificent. So, you know, I love the story, and you know, I know people ask you questions about this fine woman you got on the front. Man, tell us about this book, man. Well, before you get into the book, before we get into Cougars, though, I want everybody to understand that you have been an author that's been around for quite some time, and you have done all types of things. So I'm going to let you go ahead and explain yourself before we get to Cougars. You know, some of the things you've done and some of the literary works that you have out there.
Sure. My name is Earl Sewell. I am from Chicago, Illinois. I've been writing a fairly long time, but my career started to take off in the late 1990s. I have 17 titles under my belt. I've written 17 novels. I've written in various genders. I write erotic thrillers, I write mainstream fiction, and I write young adult books. Currently, like you said, Cougars is my latest adult title, and I also write a series for teenagers called Keisha's Drama. And so a lot of times it's a real mind job to switch between writing, you know, adult stuff and young adult stuff. But
I bet it is.
You know, I manage to do it. But Cougars is a book that I'm very, very proud of. It's a story. It was an idea that I got while sitting home watching television one night. And I don't know about you, if you get these commercials down in your neck of the woods, but up here in Chicago, there's always these pharmaceutical commercials, you know.
We get them.
Okay. So we have all these pharmaceutical commercials up here for male enhancement. And so I was sitting around one day and said, you know, geez, you know, they only have stuff for men. I said, why don't they put out something for women? I said, now there's a pill that would sell.
And that's
so,
right.
So I said, and there's a pill that everybody would want. So, you know, regardless of the side effects, you know, if it'll make you feel good and get you from A to Z and, you know, no time flat, you know, people will want
right.
it. So I started toying around with the idea of doing this. And so I had a couple of more incidents happen, you know, that kind of helped the storyline along. The whole Cougars phenomenon with women. Some women, you know, like the title of being called a cougar. You know, a lot of women,
right.
women find it to be an empowering thing, and so you know, which I absolutely found fascinating. So, anyway, I basically threaded those two ideas together and came up with the book Cougars. And some more details about the storyline is what I decided to do was create a female sexual aphrodisiac, and I made my character a 43-year-old chemist, and she works
right,
for a pharmaceutical
right.
company, and so she decides, so she gets charged with doing some experimentation to create a female sexual aphrodisiac, basically a $1 million pill or a pill that produces millions of dollars, and so she
right.
ends up getting into a relationship with another young chemist, a brilliant chemist, who's very ambitious, and he's in his late 20s, so the two of them, you know, as they're experimenting on the drug.
Right, right. I read this book, man. I'm telling you, this is a great book. I try not to read too many other authors' books because I don't want to kind of infuse some of their thoughts into mine, but I had to read this one, man. Because, first of all, like I said, the cover intrigued me. With what you have on here on the front, and I'm sure you get these questions all the time: is who is this person and all that. But another thing, though, is when I got into the story, man, it kept me going as always. You know, when you get a good book that can drive you from beginning to end, where you don't want to put it down, then you know you've done a great job, and that's what Cougars has did for me, especially the story. When not only was it about like you said, the women in their 40s messing with younger men, but because of the aphrodisiac and the obsessiveness of this person, I don't want to give too much away for those who haven't read it, but the guy that's in this book, the chemist that she's working with, how obsessed he was. Where did you get that idea? I mean, that guy was just, I mean, he was very, very obsessed.
Well, sure. You know, if you can ask, you know, men, especially men who are ambitious, you know, you can ask a man, what's your life's work or what's your life's passion? And if a man has found his passion or his job, it's his life's work. You don't mess with
right.
him. You know,
right.
like if a man loves being a doctor, then he's a doctor all the time. Or if a man loves being a professional athlete, I mean, everything that he does is about being an athlete and being in the best shape that he can. So
right.
I think once we all find our passion, we have a tendency to get obsessive with it. Hell, if you talk to somebody, you know, who uses drugs, you know, too much, you know, they get obsessed with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You can't catch them
all. No, I'll tell you what. Now, this was really good, though, because, like I said, and his friend, you know, the guy that he had that was his friend who was just out of control. You know, that guy, I mean, you know, you know, like I said, the whole setup that you did with this thing was absolutely magnificent, and I think that this would make a brilliant movie if it was able to get to that point, which I'm sure it could. With a little pushing, I'm sure you can get it there. This would be, you know, like I said, a great movie because, like you said, the storyline with the female enhancement and all that, because that's not something that's happening. Well, I don't even know if they're even trying to get one of those right now. But it just came together, and I thought that you did an excellent job on how you developed the characters and brought them through. So, but that's with your expertise. So, with that, what do you got going on now that's coming up?
Well, right now, I'm here, before I answer that, I'll answer the lady on the cover question.
Okay.
The woman that's on the cover of the Cougars, on the cover of the book, is I have no idea who she is.
I figured that.
I get that all the time, like, who is this fine woman that you got on this cover? And
exactly.
There's a company out of Atlanta called Marion Designs that designed the cover, and so you know I
uh-huh.
believe he uses models to come
right.
in and you know do their thing. So, but you know I
yeah.
you, me myself I'd like to meet her.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
But Yeah. At least, you know, since she's on your cover. But, yeah. So tell us a little bit about how is it writing for Zane's company?
Oh, I've known Zane. I've knew Zane before she was Zane.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we both started off as self-published authors back in the late 1990s. And this is just one of those things where, you know, matter of fact, when I guess the best way to say it is when the world went online with Windows 95 and everybody could get America Online and everybody, you know, you've got mail, everybody was connected, you know, all of these, you know, social networks started popping up. And so I ended up joining this writing social network as I was trying to get my way published. And
uh-huh.
I was a part of the group along with Mary Morrison, Carl Weber,
uh-huh.
you know, Omar Tyree, just all of the, a lot of the name brand authors that you see today, we were all part of this one writing group. And so that's where uh-huh. I knew her, that's where I knew her from. And she was, she had just finished her book, Addicted. And,
right.
And so, but anyway, so to make a long story short, as she became more successful and in fact, as all the authors in the group became more successful, she had a breakout success and she was able to start her own company. And so she,
right.
when she was looking for writers, you know, she tapped into the resources that she knew. And so she said, hey, you know, would you be able to, you know, write something for me? And I said, sure, absolutely. And, you know,
right.
and that's how I know her. But,
okay.
you know, it's just like one of those things, you know somebody for a long time and you're in the business together. I mean, and when you're looking for somebody who you know can get the job done, you know, that's what you do. And as far as the current projects that I'm working on, I am working on my next young adult book right now, and that is going to be. And what I'm doing, I'm switching gears, and I'm writing a teen series for Latino children or Latino teenagers.
Oh, okay.
Because you know there's not really much out there for them in the way of modernized fiction. So I'm making my protagonist a young Latino girl, and then after that, I will be working on the next book in the Cougar series called The Ultimate Cougar.
Okay, I was wondering. Okay, all right. Okay, just wanted to know. Okay,
yeah,
that sounds good. So, you'll definitely have to get you back on the show when you get that one out for sure. But I just wanted to find out more. And if there's been a lot of questions. You know, we get these questions a lot of times. Even though I'm kind of a new author on the scene, I don't have 17 books, but I do have 6. So my thing is there's a lot of people who ask questions all the time that listen to the show about getting into the literary game as far as which way should they go. Should they go the self-published way or should they go the opposite, with a mainstream company? And just if you could, if you could kind of give them an idea of what you think is best or which way that, you know, they should try to go in their career, well, how would you direct them?
You know, there's pros and cons to both sides, and I can say that with full confidence because I've been on both sides of the coin. I started
right.
off as a self-published author. When I wrote my first book back in 1997, I wrote my first book back in 1993, and I got like 43 rejection letters, and so
right.
I didn't write again for a number of years until 1997 when I wrote my next book, and then I decided that I wasn't going to deal with the rejection of the rejection letter from a publisher, so
mm-hmm.
I decided to front my own money and print my own book and go out there and basically hustle them, and so
that's right.
I took the stance that if I don't believe in me and I don't invest in me, then how can I expect somebody else to do the same? So what I did is I took a leap of faith. I mean, it was a real leap of faith. I mean, I printed up all of these books, and the next thing you know, they were delivered, and I had a garage full of books that I had to sell. And
right.
so what I basically, every day I went to work, I had a little rollaway suitcase, and anytime I saw somebody reading a book, I would sit down next to them, introduce myself, and start talking and, you know, get an email address and sell a book. Eventually,
right.
after 2 years of hard work and networking and doing things like that, and showing that I had a following and some sales numbers, that's when the publishers started approaching me saying, hey, you know, we want to take your book, you know, and distribute it nationally. We think, you know, it would do well. And so
right.
even even with that, and I, you know, and what, you know, what writers should understand, or what authors, especially new authors, should understand is that just because a publisher, a New York publisher, picks you up, don't think you're going to ride off into the sunset, you know, and have money
that's
in
right,
the bank,
that's right.
laughing all uh-huh. the way. You have to work extra hard now, because the idea
right.
is, like, and then once you get a New York publisher, it's like, you know, you've made the team. Now that you've made the team, you can't sit on the bench. You want to be a star player. So in other
that's
words,
right.
when you get your opportunity to go catch the ball, dunk it, you know, throw the bomb, catch the touchdown pass, you damn well better catch it.
That's right. There you go.
You know, I tell people this, like, all the time, being from Chicago, you know, when the Bulls were champions, you know, they didn't say Michael Jordan just win one championship. They say, Michael, do it again. Do it again.
Right, exactly.
Again.
That's right.
But, you know, everybody loves a champion that keeps on winning. And so, the minute you're unable to produce, your numbers start slipping, well, you're old news. And, you know, they're looking for the next best thing. So even when you get with a publisher, you have to, you know, the publisher's only going to do so much. I mean, you still got to get out there. You got to hustle. You got to go out and meet people. You got to defend your book. You got to do book signing. You got to do speaking engagements. You got to do anything you can to get your book in front of people and to get them to buy more of your work, especially if they like it. You know, when you go to a bookstore, you know, people, or you go online, there's so many choices, and you want to have people have you in their mind, because you know, in this, it's all about name recognition. I mean, if you say Stephen mm-hmm. King, you know exactly who he is. You say Jackie Collins,
exactly.
you know exactly who she is. You know, it's that kind of thing. You need to brand yourself and, you know, have a brand name so that, you know, if you say John Grisham, I mean, you know what kind of books John Grisham writes.
That's right.
And
I'm
know,
glad
that
you explained it that way. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm
and
sorry,
that just takes time. That just takes time. I mean, and just, you know, think about it from, you know, if you're the reader and, you know, you see this new book come out and by this author you've never heard of, one of the first things we do is, if we're readers, we ask a friend that reads, have you read this book or have you heard of this person?
Right,
that's,
right.
That's
kind of absolutely.
First thing. And then also the way authors build recognition is through recommendations from other readers. You have to have readers that recommend your book to their friends.
Yes, right, exactly. Well, you know, that's good. I'm glad you said it, because a lot of people think that what you just said about you get a book deal and you ride off in the sunset and everything is going to be hunky-dory, but that's not true, as we know. And I'd like to ask that question to all the authors that come on, because I wanted to make it clear to people that if they're going to get into this game, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. If that's what you're looking to do, then you need to look for something else. First of all, if you're going to be writing, I feel that you should be into this because you love it and because you want to do it, and not because you're looking for money. Even though you want to get paid, I'm not saying that you don't want the money, but what I'm saying is that can't be the main objective, you know, in this. You should be definitely trying to get your work out so people can, like you said, know who you are. And once they know who you are and you get it out there, then I think that they could definitely, it'll start picking up once they know who you are. But like you said, you got to hustle. And I know that, but I like to always try to let people that listen understand that, too, that may be interested in getting into this. So tell us about some more of your books. I know you got you have Have Mercy out there. I haven't had a chance to read that one yet, but what can you tell us about that?
Oh, man, you have to read Have Mercy. Here's why. Mercy, although it came out last year, I wrote that book about 11 years ago.
Okay.
And when I wrote the book, I sent it to a publisher. Matter of fact, after I wrote my self-published book, Take It For Granted, I wrote Have Mercy, and the publishers rejected it. They said it was too male-driven, and it wasn't like How Stella Got Her Groove Back kind of story. And they felt that women would not like it. And I was like, you got to be kidding. And here's what Have Mercy is about. Have Mercy is about a father who's a state trooper who has a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter. He has a perfect life, and he's done everything right and got everything he wants. And it's about this other man named Luther who's kind of a drifter. His mother raised him. She was on drugs. She, you know, put him from one drug house to the next. But Luther is a product of the foster care system, but could never quite get his stuff together. You know, he's not a but he just doesn't quite have that. He can never catch the break that he needs. And so, and so through a twist of fate, Luther inadvertently ends up killing Marshall's daughter. And it's about the father who's a police officer, who's a protector by nature, not being able to protect the thing that's most precious to him, and about the consequences of a person who does an accident, who makes a mistake that they really didn't want to do, but doesn't want to face the consequences for such a tragic mistake. And so one of the morals of the story is like if somebody did something wronged you in such a way as to take something so precious from you as your child, if you got the chance to exact your revenge, would you do it or would you have mercy?
That's right. You know, I don't see why at the time they thought that wasn't something that could be published. But like you said, and I can only go by what I've been doing, I choose myself right now to be in the self-published mode because of the creativity that I can have as a self-published author. The things that you can do, a lot of people don't understand that when you are with some of these publishing houses, you don't get to pick the cover or any of that stuff, or even they might even have you cut down the size of the book because of whatever reasons. But I think that that book, I mean, I'm glad it did finally get out, and I'm going to have to go pick it up. But what you explained to me, I don't see what the problem was as far as, I guess because it was a man who was trying to do well or do for his son or whatever, I don't understand why that book couldn't, why they thought it wasn't able to make it at the time that you presented it.
You know, and interestingly enough, the feedback that I have gotten off of that book, some readers said, wow, I followed you from the beginning, and this Have Mercy is, you've just grown as a writer. And I laughed and said, that was the second book that I wrote. I said, the world wasn't ready for it. And some people, the readers are like, you're kidding me, And it's such an engaging story because of the emotional ride it takes you on, because you the way I write it, I put you right in there where you feel everything that both of these men are feeling. And so, you don't get that in a lot of books, where you got a really good man. You got a really good man that's doing everything right. And here's what a good man looks like. Here's how a good man treats you. Opposed to, I read this book and this guy just all got out or whatever. And here's what an incomplete man looks like. And so you get those two. And the thing is the readers that have read it said, they felt for both of them. They really, it's one of those books that when you finish it, it sticks with you. It just hits you in a certain way that you just like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, man, I'm definitely gonna have to get that. But you know something, what I hadn't been doing since you've been talking, because I've been so intrigued with you and talking and listening to what you bring here, I haven't even been putting out the numbers so people can get a call in just in case they might want to have a question, and I'm gonna do that now. This is Word Sexy Radio, and the number is 347-215-8539. If you want to call in and ask questions to Earl, you can do that right now. He's gonna be here for another 36 minutes. So, we're going to be talking more with the incomparable Earl Sewell. So, look, man, like I said, one day when I grow up, I hope to be that famous author that you are. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, you got a lot of good stuff out there, man. I'm intrigued with what you're doing. And like you said, you're going to do this, the Latino book that you got, the Latino series that you want to do. Now, is that going to be also offered in bilingual as well? Or is it just going to all be in English? Or have you decided that yet?
You know what? This is again with the young adult series. I had to convince the publisher to go here. First of all, with the young adult series, to convince the publisher to go down the right to write young adult fiction for African American teenagers when this just wasn't the norm. You can talk to a lot of parents nowadays. They tell my kid is a poor reader, or they don't like to read or whatever. They don't like to read because there hasn't been really anything updated out there for them to read. Of course, there's the Richard Wrights and the James Baldwins of the world, but those guys are two, three generations ago. They're not even in the digital age in those stories. And, and,
right.
and then And you know, you can. There's only so much of Old Yeller and Tale of Two Cities you can read.
That's right. There you go. And it's good that you have the interest to even reach out to the youth with that, because I've been checking out some of the pictures. Like I said, I know you be going to a lot of the schools and stuff with your book, and they've been inviting you probably out to talk to them and everything. I think that's really good that you're taking your literary talent, not only just to one genre, which is no author should do anyway, but should be able to just spread around and just do, you know, all types of things that you can really do. And I think that's really good that you're doing that. And I see that the series you have, like, I guess it's called, what is it, like, True?
Yeah, Kamani True. I see
a lot of those, and I think it's doing well. I don't know how well it's doing, but I'm pretty sure you're touching a lot of youth out there with that, so that's really good.
And you know, here's something else to share with your listeners, you know, just about the hustling tip, you know, on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of publishers, what the publisher wanted to do with the Kamani True series was send it to their outlets and say, okay, let's see the sales numbers come back. In other words, they wanted to send it to their Walden's, Borders, Barnes & Noble's, Targets, and Walmart.
Right.
You know, and see if we get any sales numbers. And so, you know, my stance was, well, what you don't understand, historically in America, a lot of those outlets you didn't put in the African-American community. Especially,
right.
Especially here in Chicago. So you don't have, the consumers aren't trained to go to the bookstore to find their books. They're used to getting it in a different way, either from the man hustling on the street or through the school system or some other way. So when they were
beauty shops or something like that,
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the first thing I said is like, nope, the first thing I'm going to do is start going to school district meetings and start talking up this series and talking up this book. And so the minute I got a school to take a chance and order the book, they said they couldn't keep them in a school library because they were always out. And the kid had an order and order and order. And they said, well, who is this guy? And so then, you know, I started coming and talk to the kids and, you know, just tell them, like, you know, God, there's just so much more to the performing arts than rap music or, you know, being, you know, a Rihanna or something like that. I mean, there's so much more you can do. And the next thing I knew, the Chicago Public School System picked it up, made it required reading, and, you know, it's just been one big thing after the next. So with the Latino series, you know, the thing that I noticed is like, you know, I was like, God, you know, the publishers, you've missed an entire bubble. You've missed an entire segment of the population that could benefit from, you know, modernized stories. So I said, you know what? Instead of complaining about it, Earl, try to plug that hole.
There you go. So how come you haven't come up with your own publishing company and just started going in that aspect as what you're saying, or have you already done that?
Yeah, when I was a self-published author, that's what I did. In fact, I still do have it. And another project that's in the works is a book for middle school kids, for elementary school kids, for African-American boys, adventure series for like fourth, fifth, and sixth graders so that African-American boys can have their version of where the wild things are. And I'm doing that on my own.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really good. And if I had to ask a question now to you, out of all the writing that you've done, it sounds like you're most passionate with helping the youth come up with something to give them to read. Would that be correct, or as far as the different genres of writing that you're doing?
No, you know, I'm passionate about writing. Period. The youth is one thing, and you know, it sounds a little bit more passionate for the youth because it is such an untapped market, and you know, when you turn on a child to anything positive, you know, you get a particular energy back, you know,
right.
and that's exciting. But you know, what I have come to understand is it is a gift. I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff I come up, it is truly a gift. I mean, writing to me is what my fingers are to my hand. I just can't function without it. And like you said earlier, if I didn't make dime one, I wouldn't be able to help myself. I would have to write. That's just something with my genetic coding. That whenever God breathed, you know, first breath into me, he said, Earl Sewell, you are going to be a storyteller or a writer, and I cannot help it. Everything I do is about storytelling.
And that's
so
good.
That's
the thing that I was trying to, you know, make sure that's being stressed to those that are listening that are, like I said, that are interested to get into this, because you know, it's not about, you know, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea when I say that it's not about the money. Because yes, you wanna kind of get compensated for what you're doing, but it's not, if you really love what you're doing, like you said, that it'll be living in you and breathing through you, and you'll just do it anyway, and the money will just be icing on the cake, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I mean, the money is just gravy, and that's the thing. When it becomes a true passion, you do it and don't even realize you're doing it.
Right. And that's how I feel about it. You know, I've been writing as publishing as long as you have. I've been writing off and on in college and everything, but getting serious about actually doing it 2 years ago, basically, you know, I just felt that this was something that a niche that I found that I could do. And what encouraged me, I guess, was the fact that I saw that there were so many ways that you could do it. I mean, you know, back in the day, like you said, when you started out, it was hard to get published. But even with technology now, I mean, you really don't need a publishing house. You can be your own publishing house and get out there. But you got to make sure you're not putting something out there that's garbage. You know, you want to make sure that you're doing it because you love it, and what you do, you want to take time out and try to put something out that's going to help somebody, or just be, you know, entertainment, like the writing that I do now. Like, I just finished a paranormal book just yesterday, matter of fact, that I'm going to be, you know, getting edited and making sure it's good to go. That's going to be coming out. And I know that you had commented once on one of the stories that I did, one of my first books, Scandalous Motives. I think you kind of, you know, I had put an excerpt on and you commented on that, you had read it. So that right there in itself, you know, made me, you know, I felt good that you was able to take time out to read that as well for me, and you know, to give me you thought that it was good. So I know that, you know, you want to get that, and it feels good, and everybody's not going to like what you do, of course. So, but I appreciate that. So, but like I said, now you did these other books, and you have like Taken for Granted, and you know, Through Thick and Thin. You know, you got so much work out there. I mean, just what I'm sure there's a story that goes with each one of these. So, I mean, just like you said, it's just in you. You know what I mean?
A lot of times people ask, you know, where did the story ideas come from, or how did you come up with these characters? And for me, the way it works for me as a writer, as I just move through life and move through, you know, my daily existence, I'm always picking up a little something off of something from some place, you know, and I just have like this memory that this, I just store stuff. And, you know, I'll remember, you know, a particular way a woman dresses, or a particular way, you know, a man, you know, smiles, or a particular quirk that somebody has, or here's one for you. Like when I saw President Obama, you know, being inaugurated, I was watching him. I said, look at Obama. He got a mean swagger.
I said,
dude is almost pimping. when you look at that, I mean, that's that male confidence that you see certain people, you know, that have that certain confidence, you know, it's, you know, and it's in them so much that it comes out in their walk. I mean, you know,
right.
I've seen that swagger on like a Lawrence Fishburne. I've seen that swagger on like a Denzel Washington. You know, I mean, these men are strong, and they are sure-footed. And so, I mean, so it's like, you know, when I create a male character, you know, it's like, you know, I'm sitting there saying, you know, one of the things that the woman was attracted to was his swagger. You know, just the way he carried himself, you know, they find that sexy. And so, my ideas, you know, I just have one of these minds that just, like I said, it's a gift, and whenever something comes to me, I mean, when it's on, it's just, you know, the writer's voice inside of me is telling me, here's how this story goes, and here's what you need to say, and like, I just go with it. And a lot of times, I don't even know, I'm just going with it because it's like almost channeling. It's almost like channeling, if that's
right.
Where there's something in you that's coming out, and it's got to come out. And
right.
Then by the time you're done with it, you know, you're 300 pages into it, and you're like, whoa.
Exactly, and that's good. You know what I like, though, and like I said, from talking to you and everything, the thing that I like about you as an author is that you don't have that the arrogant air that some may have, you know, because a lot of people, they get out there, they get a couple of books out there, and they, you know, they forget where they came from or whatever the case may be, or they think they've arrived or something. But what I'm seeing from you, what I'm hearing from you, that you don't have that, and I think that's important. So how do you keep yourself from getting that way? And you're just not that kind of a person, are you?
No, I'm just not. I'm you know, my mama raised me better than that.
You know? No, that's right. You know, some people just have that. You know, they get that way, and I don't understand it. I mean, to me, you should be who you are. You know, just because you have these books does not mean that you are better or that you or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You're able to give something to someone that like you said, that's in you, that you're able to write it and put it out there and present something to someone that they can use or enjoy the entertainment of reading, or whether it's a self-help book or something like that. And that's why I feel like, you know, you can't let yourself get all the big head or anything.
Well, and you know, you have to, you know, for me, it's you know, I just wasn't, you know, raised that way. And then you know, you can always fall from grace, because you know, you got to remember, you know, the same people that, you know, prop you up, if you upset them, they can certainly stop propping you up and bring you down.
Exactly.
And so in that regard, I'm always conscious of, you know, the people who have been supporting me. I live with the attitude of gratitude. You know, I mean, even if all of my publishing, you know, success fell apart today or tomorrow, you know,
yeah,
I would live in gratitude that I got the opportunity to see a dream come true. And that's just another thing. I mean, when you set a goal and you set out to do it and you achieve it, I mean, you got to just sometimes stop and take in the fact that you achieved it, and then you got to look back and say, okay, who helped me get here? You know,
right.
how did I get here? And when you think about it, you will see that there were a whole lot of people that helped you to get to where you are. Period.
Yeah.
Whether it was
that's
in a big
right.
way or a small way, there's just so many people that, you know, you have to say, okay, I have to, you know, say, you know, thank you, you know, thank you, God, thank you for, you know, putting these people in my life at a particular point. You know, to do whatever, because I'm supposed to get something out of them, or, you know, there's supposed to be some kind of exchange, or there's supposed to be some kind something that's supposed to happen. And then I think when you live with it, with the attitude of gratitude, and you live with a giving heart, you just get that back.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm glad that you're that way. And I knew that when I first approached you about coming on the show and everything, that you were you know, nice and not, didn't have that kind of an air about you anyway. I mean, you don't even look that way when you see a picture. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, you're just not that kind of guy. But there are some, and you know, not calling no names, but there are some people that get that. And, you know, that's just the way they are, I guess. But I'm glad that you're not. And you seem like the kind of guy that's approachable. You can, you know, it's like you're my best friend or something. One of the guys that I've been knowing anyway. And you just happen to be an artist. So, you know,
And I just tell people that all the time. I say I'm just Katie and Earl's boy from the west side of Chicago.
Right.
You
right,
know,
exactly.
I'm just as you know, cool and, you know, easygoing, you know, as anybody. And
right.
You know, and besides, I can't be that man. I come from a big old family. I mean, my family is huge.
Right.
So, you know, my daddy is a baby of 18 kids. He has 18
Roll,
brothers.
Yeah.
And all of them have
13
kids. So, you know, I got a whole lot.
Right. All right. Well, you know, that's good, because, like I said, you know, this game, this I call it a literary game. It's not really a game, but I call it that because it's a thing that, like I said, you really got to want to be part of if you're going to do it, because it's nothing that you can, you know, that you can just get out there and hustle. Like, some things you can get into and you can probably get away with it if you don't halfway enjoy it. But this, I believe, you definitely have to enjoy what you do, because it's a lot of heartache, a lot of hustle. Like you said, it's going to be rejection. If you're not a person that don't like that, then, you know, this is not it for you, because not everybody's going to like what you do. You want them to, but it's just not that way. And, you know, and like you said, you got to get out here to the book clubs. You know, that's where you have to go, and you got to get to the people so that you can kind of find out maybe what they want to help you drive to give them what they want. You know, you can't just be just about you. You know, that's what I'm learning. So You know, it's about your fans and those that are following you. You know, if you want to call them fans, people that are interested in your work. You know, is what you know. You have to realize that that's how you get there. Like you said, all the people that you have to remember that got you there. Those are probably the most important that you have to remember. Those that read, those that don't really know you, but those that are reading your work and want more from you. So I'm learning, and I think that's good. And so we got about 19 minutes left, and I don't know if there's anybody out there that wanted to ask me any questions, but I enjoyed talking to you. There's a couple. Let me see if there's anybody interested with a question. Caller, do you have a question? Okay, they don't have a question. I'll just go ahead on. Okay. What we'll do right now, we got about 19 minutes, and if you can kind of give you know, some of the people a little bit about how they can get your books. We know you can get them on the main areas, but still kind of tell them where you can get them and a little bit about your website. And even if they want to get you to their city for schools or anything like that with your teenage books and stuff like that, how can they get in contact with you?
Sure. The best way to get in contact with me is to shoot me an email, and my email address is Earl, E-A-R-L, at earlsewell.com. That's E-A-R-L-S-E-W-E-L-L.com. And what I would recommend that you do is to put a title of one of my books in the subject line so that I know it's not spam, because I get a ton of mail. And the first ones I read is, you know, somebody says, you know, Cougars or something like that, because I know, okay, these are folks who are reading me who want to share, you know, their experience with the book or something like that.
Right. Right.
And then if you're a book club and you're looking to say, hey, you know, would you come to my book club? Absolutely, send me an email. You know, we can either hammer out some dates or something like that. If you're in a different city other than Chicago, you know, let me know, because I also don't mind, you know, traveling to a different city if you're going to put on some kind of literary event where you're going to have, you know, several book clubs, you know, coming together to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, that is certainly something that, you know, I have done before in the past and I enjoy doing. And if you're a school or you're a teacher or you're a principal or you're a librarian, And you want to know more about the Kamani True series or the books that, you know, we're doing for, you know, for these teens, you know, shoot me an email, and I will certainly, you know, tell you more about it. And if you're interested in having me come to the schools to speak to your students, I most certainly will do that. And the uh-huh. great thing about the schools, and, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in Chicago or a different city, what I say is, when I come to your school, the only thing that I require is that you buy the books for the students. And, uh-huh. I said, you know, that's all, you just buy the books for the students and that they read it so that when I come there, we can have a discussion about the situation,
right,
the characters in the book. I mean, and
right.
and you're doing that anyway. And so that doing it that way has worked out so wonderfully. So wonderfully.
I bet it has. And then you also see the interest in the kids. And you know, when they read the book, you want to be able to talk to them about it. You don't want to come there and they're just getting the book when you get there, and then they don't know what's going on, you know. So
yeah.
I think that would definitely make sense to,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
get the book and have them read it, you know, as an assignment or whatever, or just, you know, as an extra project or something, you know.
Exactly.
And just and get them to read it, and then they can talk to you. And I know that probably lightens them up a lot to be able to actually talk to the author who actually wrote the book.
Well, and same goes for the book clubs too, because, you know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, with the book clubs, that's all they're doing. They read the book and they go and they start talking about the situations, the characters, and a lot of times those conversations get really passionate about, you know, what's,
yeah, right,
you know, what's taking place in the storyline. And kids are the same way. I mean, they have the same, you know, passion and vigor about the story and what's happening, you know, just as the adults do. Because, you know, I just did a book club meeting this past Saturday, and it was for a book club that had read Cougars. And so
uh-huh.
I walked in there not knowing what to expect, whether they liked the book or, you know, didn't like the book or whatever. And so I walked in there, and, you know, they were all sitting around. It was a book club. There was about 15 ladies, and they were just sitting around, and they turned it into a Cougar party. I mean,
wow, okay.
There drinks flowing, and, you know, everybody was sitting around laughing and playing different games, and we talked about the book, and we talked about the things in the book. And then, ironically, you know, just with talking about the book, it brought forth the whole conversation of relationships, period, and just, you
right.
know, the different things that you got to go through to make a relationship work, and
yeah.
you know, and you know, it just, you know, it became, you know, and everything, and you know, and it's great, you know, when you have stuff on your chest, and you know, something's, you know, bothering you, or you know, somebody's came to you for advice, and you're like, well, somebody came to me with this problem, and you know, I told them this. What do you think? I mean, you can,
right.
I mean, you're having conversations like that, next, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I know that a lot of the situations that Miss Jasmine Sally was going through in this book with her friends and all of that, you know, it was just, you know, especially the way you had it lined up with her sister being a DEA agent and all this, how everything all came together, how you had it, all the connections there. You know, I thought that was pretty good, even with the pilot, you know, his friend, the pilot, and all that, the things that he was doing and all the different you know, just pieces that you put this together. I thought, like
yeah.
I said, I really enjoyed the book, and I thought it was an excellent read. I'm definitely going to have to go back and read some more of your other literary work, man. And, you know, it's just, it was great, man. I mean, I was intrigued when I saw the cover. And you told me, when you asked me, hey, can you pass this on? So I started passing it on to everybody, and they was intrigued, and they was, you know, I mean...
Well, see,
the book,
and
man. I wish I had the ideal. That's all I can say.
Well, see, and that's what I mean when they say you got to live with the attitude of gratitude. You got to be thankful. You know, it's like, you know, you didn't have to pass that along, but you did.
Right. Right.
And you know, and you pass that along, and then you know somebody may have went, okay, I'll pick this up, and the next thing you know, you got somebody that's reading your work, or you know, they're befriending you on Facebook, and they're following you, and you know, you as an author, that's what you have to do, man. I mean. You can't be authors that want to write a book and then just sit in your office all day and say, okay, I don't want to talk to people because I want to be a hermit.
Right, exactly.
especially
with African Americans. But all of that goes, but like you're right. And a lot of that, though, really truthfully, Earl, is this. It's how you portray yourself as a person is what made people want to do it. The way you was acting with me was what intrigued me to want to read your book, because you weren't acting, like I said, like you was a stiff shirt. You was being a person, and you said, this is what I got. You want to check it out? Just check out my book. And it's the way you presented it. And that's what you got to do. Like you said, you got to hustle and get out there. You can't be, like you said, in your office. You need to get out there and let people see what you got, and then you got to be willing to talk to them about it, because there's a lot of people out there that's just like, well, I don't want you coming to me asking me about how I did this, or, you know, if you want to learn how to publish, you need to go and do it yourself. There are some people out there that's like that, and I'm just glad you're not one of those.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
you know. We all have to start from someplace, and, you know,
right.
a closed fist gets you nothing. You know, you
right.
open up your hand, and you know, something, you know, wonderful happens. And, you know, I think, you know, when people ask, you got to be, you know, honest and you know, respectful of the person's, you know, time and, you know, efforts. And, you know, a lot of times when, you know, people ask me stuff, you know, about, oh, how do you do this? I say, well, tell me what you've done so far.
Right.
Tell me
right.
what you've done so far. And, you know, if I meet a person, they say, well, you know, I got an idea in my head. I said, okay, that's a good place to start, but you need to get the idea out. You know, because
exactly.
I could start, you know, I just need to know, you know, sometimes a person just needs a little bit of motivation, or, you know, sometimes a person says, well, you know, can you read my work? And, you know, a lot of times I say, you know what, it depends on where I am in the writing process, where I am. I said, if I'm
right,
in the
right.
absolutely. And then another time I said, you know, if when I read, I said, I'd like to just, you know, send me, you know, the first five chapters, and I'll do a blurb from you off of the first five chapters. But make sure your chapters are edited. I don't want to have to read
right.
your book and then start editing for you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I, you
I
know, and
understand
I can
that.
People say, oh, can you read my book? And I, like I said, depending on, if I'm 2 days before a deadline, I'm not going to get to it. I'm going to be honest with you. I would love to, but I'm not going to get to it. But,
well,
you know,
it's...
You know, and it's all.
I mean, that's being honest. I mean, you know, like you said, I've never really tried to ask. When I started out, I didn't really try to ask a lot of authors because I know that they're busy and stuff. And you know, and plus, I don't want to seem like I'm trying to leech on them just because I'm trying to get them to get me published or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that's me personally. What I you know, I didn't try to do. But my thing was, you know, now that with Facebook, I mean, you can do so many things with all the electronic avenues of ways to get to people and doing things that you can test your stuff. But you got to be willing to put it out there and let people read it and get the opinion from them and ask them what you think. You know, just like when I put that out and like I said, I was, you know, I wasn't shocked, but I mean, I was proud that you took time out to even look at what I had written. You know, out there. So, I mean, like I said, you know, that's what it's about. You know, trying to get it out there and see and get the feedback so you know what you need to do. So, but like I said, man, it's definitely been a pleasure having you on the show. And we got about 9 minutes, but I don't want to hold you up if you got something else to do. But I definitely want to get you back on, man, in the future when you, you know, come out with some more stuff that you got going on and any other things that you're doing. And hopefully, if you're interested, would you like to come back on the show? Hello? Okay. It'd be absolutely magnificent to have you back on and to get you to, continue on with some of the things that you're doing. So, we enjoyed having you, and it's been great.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I know we had lost the connection. We had lost connection there for a second, but like I was saying before, we had lost that. We got about 8 minutes. I was just saying that it was just great having you on, and for you taking time out of your schedule, because I know you have a lot that you're doing, and you know things that you could be doing right now. But like I said, people are definitely interested and want to keep hearing from you. So please keep writing, keep doing what you do. Like you said, it's in your blood. I'm going to keep doing it too, because one day I'll get to a point where I can look back and say, hey, this is where I started, just like everybody else. And
back in 1988-89, I was the same way.
Right.
I was like, oh, you know, I couldn't get the word cat published, even if they spotted me the C and the T.
I understand, yeah. But, you know, like I said, the route I'm doing now, the self-publishing thing, is pretty good. I like that. And maybe one day if it's supposed to happen, then it will. Maybe I'll get with a publishing house or something. But right now, the books are doing pretty good, and we're getting out there. Like I said, the hustle is what you have to do. You have to get out there and get known so people can know who you are and want to be able to read your stuff. So
exactly.
But, you know, and Earl, I thank you a lot, man. I'm not going to hold you any longer. I thank you for coming on the show, man. And please, if you get a chance, man, come on back on, man. And we'll keep in touch for sure. And I definitely like to meet you in person. And,
if you check out Have Mercy.
I will definitely do that, and we'll get you back on. Actually, next year, I'm a member of Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated. We're going to be having our national convention in Chicago. So that's going to be next year, and I definitely will, you know, try to see if I can link up with you, if not before then, during that time. So, and that's around June or something, around this time, July of next year. We'll definitely, maybe we can even get you at the fraternity. Maybe you can do some stuff there and at the meeting, because we have a lot of people. It's a national convention, so there's a lot of people there that will definitely be interested in your work. So maybe we can try to get you there, and you can, you know, talk about your books.
Okay,
and sell them.
Yeah.
Definitely want you to sell them.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, well, thanks a lot, man, and we appreciate you. All right.
Okay, thanks.
So, you're welcome. All right. So this has been Word Sexy Radio, and we've had Earl Sewell on the show, and he's a great author that we will definitely have back again on the show, and if you haven't had a chance to read his book, Cougars, you need to go ahead and pick that up. It's a great book. I read it, and it's absolutely a page-turner. I think that you also want to go out and check out some of his other books, like Have Mercy and Taken for Granted, Through Thick and Thin, The Flip Side of Money, When Push Comes to Shove, and Love, Lies, and Scandal. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Thank you.